Yesterday, I was in Florida preaching, and the Lord gave us a great message, a very good message. This was in Tampa, and then Friday night, we had a meeting there, too, and about 20 people came up from Miami, Brandon and Amon and the new baby. People from Clearwater, just we gathered, you know, some people I haven't seen for 10 years or more. Kim Hicks was one of them, and we just had a rich time. I was encouraged. We had a lot of joy, a lot of good time, you know, just being together. We did pastor's meeting, we did door knocking, had a few very good conversations with people. It was such a good time. So I'm anticipating the message this morning that I want to share with you. A couple of things before we... Pastor Don Barnes and Ryan came out from Indiana. They drove, they said, look it, the churches are closed down, but I know where there is one where it is not closed down. Where is it? It's in Baltimore. Well, 12-hour drive isn't too far to go for that. Let us go. And so they jumped in the car and they drove 12 hours, 14 hours, and they're with us all day, and it's good to have them. Great testimony, Ryan's life. Just shortly, I mean, he 2 years ago, marriage was falling apart, life was falling apart, heroin addiction. Mad Pastor Barnes turned to God. Hey, God, put your hand up in the air like this. Yeah, who did it? Oh, yeah, God. Wow. Isn't that good? That's good. Thank you, Lord. Lord, do more of that. Right? Yes. That's a good word. God. God is moving. So we thank you, Pastor Barnes, for your ministry out there. Out there where the corn grows tall, the pigs are big, the size of a bus, and the people are awesome, but lost and must be born again. Amen? But lost, but must be born again. Two other things. Turn to 1 Timothy chapter 2. Many of you know we were being very involved with the election of the voting for the president. We were involved, but we've also understood Psalm 115 verse 3. This was our theme Wednesday night. And anybody remember it? It was a memory verse. Anybody memorize? Anybody do your homework? Okay, there we go. Carl.
Psalm 115, verse 3. God is in heaven, and he does what he pleases.
Yeah, God is in heaven, and he has done whatsoever he pleases. So we are believers with our eyes on the kingdom, and we live here. And how do we live here? Look at chapter 2, verse 1. But I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. What kind of men? All men. Even the kings, verse 2, and for all that are in authority, presidents, prime ministers, senators, governors, mayors, what do we do for them? What do we do for them? Pray for them. Pray for them. Will they make good decisions? Sometimes. Okay, they make a good decision. Praise the Lord for that. They make a bad decision. What do?
Pray.
We pray for them. Made a bad decision. We pray for them. They're only men. And this is the way that the way that we as spirit-filled believers, because God is in heaven, he does whatever he pleases. He turns the heart of the king, right? Yes. He can change things, yes, do things. This world is not understood by us very much, very limited. And we're very proud, generally, very proud people. And we know so little, and with our little knowledge, you know, we walk around like, you know, we walk around grumpy, angry, bitter. Where is your joy? Where is your joy? Where is your joy? Where is your thanksgiving? Where is your worship? Where is God? At the right hand of God is a full, is a present, is joy forevermore. Psalm 16, verse 11, fullness of joy. Jesus said, these words I've spoken unto you. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of what? Be of good. Hey, be of good what? Be of good cheer. Why? I have overcome the world. Hallelujah. I overcame. I'm greater than Pontius Pilate, greater than Herod and Caesar. I am God. I am seated at the throne, and you are my church. You are the body of Christ. You have a ministry. Now, one of our brothers passed away this morning. Amazing man, a servant of God. In France, Pastor Sebastian's dad, Pastor Luigi, had a heart attack and is gone. Where'd he go?
Heaven.
Heaven. He went to heaven. He went to heaven to be with God. Did he go before you?
I think so.
Yeah. He did. He is gone, but we'll see him. So, what an interesting time we are living in. Pastor Schiavelli worked with Pastor Luigi for years in Africa. He knew him very well, worked with him, loved him. We love him and Isabella and the children and grandchildren, and asked Pastor to come up and share something.
When I was thinking about Pastor Luigi this morning, these verses came to my mind about his life. And it was great heaviness this morning, and then speaking to all the African pastors, as many as I could this morning, in West Africa, Pastor Conan, Pastor Paul in Togo, Pastor Bamuni, and speaking with Isabel and Sebastian, and it's great heaviness, great joy that he went to heaven, great heaviness for the family and the loss of fellowship. And this verse really struck me in Philippians chapter 2. Yet I suppose to it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus. And I was thinking about Pastor Luigi in these five aspects. He's my brother. He's my brother. We work together. He's your brother, but he was my brother. When I first met him in France, I told him Africa was going to be a place that he would go to and spend many years, and he just looked at me and laughed. And we reiterated the same thing one time in the Hotel California in Lomé, Togo. I said, this is a great place for you to visit, but to live here is going to be amazing. And he spent 30 years there, at least 30 years there in Africa. And when you think about there's 20 churches in Togo, 18 in Burkina Faso, 42 in the Ivory Coast, 3 in Benin, church in Gabon and the Congo. And you see how that one life was taken by God and just made an impartation in Togo, and it spread. All these churches, maybe, I don't know how many we're talking about, 150 churches from French West Africa, maybe a little bit less, but I'm not so sure. But you can imagine like what a man's life can do, and what the Palmieri family and Pastor Luigi and Isabel did. And so it says he's my brother, and then he's my companion in labor. He was our companion in labor. We worked together. We ate some of the strangest things together. We moved together. We traveled together on airplanes together, in vans together, up and down Africa, up and down Togo, up and down all these different countries together. So he was a companion in labor. He was a fellow worker, fellow soldier. I love that. He was a soldier. He was not ever fearful of danger and the things that would take place in Africa. And I remember one time they knocked on my door and they had come to Ghana because there was the army was fighting in the streets of Lomé, Togo. And all of a sudden the whole family appeared at my house and they were soldiers. He was a fellow soldier. And he was your messenger. That's for us and for especially the Africans. He was their apostolos is the word. He was their messenger, their ambassador. And then he that ministered to my wants. He was a servant of God. He was a servant of God. Those five things really exemplify his life. And so as we think about the ministry in France, and certainly made a great impact in Nîmes and Montpellier, France. We think about his children, his grandchildren, and all of the family of God throughout West Africa. Just keep them in prayer. So, Father, thank you today. We do pray for the Palmieri family. Father, minister to them. Minister to them, God. Comfort them, encourage them, strengthen them, build them. We thank you, God. Thank you that he's with you. We thank you, God. And we just pray, God, touch the family, touch the work in West Africa and throughout the world. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, we love that man. He was awesome. It's amazing how, you know, you get to a certain age and some of your friends, we had Pastor Carl pass, Pastor Yorma, you know, who was very precious to us. I mean, when you know somebody for 40 years or more, and then they pass, and it's like a milestone, like a person that means a lot to you. And that's happening this year. Pastor Morrison and now Pastor Luigi. Yeah, it's amazing. Whose faith we follow, yeah. Whose faith we follow, right, Pastor? You know? And then one of the things about the brotherhood or the fellowship is the joy and the tear. Like there's tears, there's the heart, there's the joy. And we had that in Florida together, you know, like we hadn't seen each other for some time in some cases. But the connection was like day one, you know, day one. I haven't seen you for 10 years, but immediately, like, we're right there, like, together in the Lord. That's so, so special. There are things about body life that are not understood by the natural man. You know, the natural man has society, you know, like he has baseball team, class at the school, a club, a group at work, you know, you have society. But what's the difference between that and the body of Christ? You know, what is the body of Christ? What is that? I know that many of you know that, like you can feel it, see it, believe it. You've been living in it and walking in it. But could you also withdraw from people? Can I withdraw from not just any, I can withdraw from a club or a group or even families. Families break up and some don't talk to each other for years. But they're blood, flesh and blood, but they have a problem with each other. And that happens. But can it happen in the body of Christ? And why? And what is it? And so this will be our subject today, the body of Christ. Mm-hmm. So we'll have a good time at that. Yeah. In a few minutes. Okay, so let's have a little bit of fellowship for a minute. So would you all stand for a moment? Whatever you're comfortable with, love each other, say a word of encouragement, walk around for a minute. Nice to see you. Good to have you here. Okay. You may be seated. I realized something in the scripture. Pastor Shabelli pointed it out to me on Thursday or Friday. And I thought, wow, that's very good. Thank you for sharing that. And I love this, that we get to receive from each other and so many portions in the body. It's amazing. Also, I love to have a good time with the body members. I love to have a good time. How about it? Have you had a good time? No, I mean hanging out with the guys, you know. Hanging out with the guys and having a good belly laugh. It's like, oh, I love it. It's a merry heart does good like medicine. Amen. And I need a good belly laugh sometimes just to go nuts. I love it. They need a laugh. I mean, what if we were laughing all the time? And then also crying the other times. And nothing in the middle, you know. You know, just crying and laughing. Well, Paul said, as sorrowful, but always rejoicing. Oh. A year and a half, we had convention here. And the theme was, rejoice in the Lord. How often?
Always.
And again, I say, rejoice. It's like he knew we wouldn't believe him when he said it once. Rejoice in the Lord always. Oh, yeah. And again, I say, I'm serious about it. Rejoice, you know. Have you ever met a Christian that looks like they were baptized in vinegar and put in the refrigerator for a couple of years? I mean, it's like unbelievable. It's so unattractive. It's so unattractive to be with legalistic, guilty, introspective, fearful people. It's so much fun. Paul's in jail, and he starts singing with, who was the other guy? Silas, Acts 16. And they start singing. I mean, that's the high watermark for like how we should act when we're in trouble or we have a lot of pressure. Cheer up, you saints of God. There's nothing to worry about. Nothing to make you feel afraid and nothing to make you doubt. But what is it? What's the next part? Remember that Jesus never fails, so why not trust him and shout? Yeah, shout. Wow. In what? In what? You're sorry you worried it all tomorrow morning. Is it an Irish song or something? Okay, so Rennie knows the Irish version. So this is a lesson for us, and behind it is this great content that we're going to speak about this morning from 1 Timothy chapter 3. And if you look at 1 Timothy 3, 15 and 16, and chapter 4, verses 1 and 2, particularly chapter 4, verse 1, because I think we could just stop there. So let's put it up on the screen. 1 Timothy 3, 15. All right. But if I tarry long, this is Paul writing to Timothy, meaning I'm coming, but it might be take me a while to get there, but that you, I'm writing you so that you may know how you ought to behave in the house of God. Now, I want to read the text and point something out to you, and we'll go back and cover it, but he is saying the house of God. Now, it's as if when he says the house of God, he's like stopping, it's like the house of God. The house of God. This is a mystery. This is huge. This is great. The house of God. How you should live in the house of God, what the house of God is. Go to the verse, please, verse 15. Hi, the house of God, which is the church of the living God. The word church means an assembly, the ecclesia. By the way, great is Diana of the Ephesians. Does anybody remember that text in Acts 19? Anybody? Raise your hand. Okay, great is Diana of the Ephesians, and it says there was a great assembly, and the word is ecclesia, the same word for church. But this church in that temple that was crying out, great is Diana of the Ephesians, wasn't the church of God, it was the assembly of the pagans. But we are an assembly, verse 15, of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. And there's a whole teaching on that, the pillar and ground of the truth, the church. Anybody know London a little bit? Trafalgar Square, anybody know that square in London? Huh? Who's the statue on that high, high pillar? Huh? Lord Nelson, yes. And there's a big column, very high column or pillar. This is the pillar. And up on the top is the Lord Nelson, his statue of the admiral that beat the Spanish. And wasn't it in Spanish? I believe it was, yeah. All right, so the man is up there, but the pillar is so high. And then up there is the man. So you have the church is the pillar of the truth. When you see the church, there's something that the church is holding up. The church is representing. The church is presenting to the world. The church is something extraordinary. It's extraordinary. It's incredible. That's the message here. Look at 15 again. You see it? Which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. So the truth, we can say, is here, like the statue, the man up there, by analogy, the truth and the church. When you see the church, you see the truth. You see the truth is there. Now why? Verse 16. And without debate, controversy, without question, beyond discussion, it's incontrovertible. It cannot be contested. It is without a doubt. It's reality. Without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. Now, this is something here, I'll put here, the mystery of godliness is what he's saying. It is incredible what it is. And I'll put here the number 6, because he says 6 things about it. Now, you came to church to learn the Bible. Hallelujah. You came to church to open your Bible and learn the Bible. You got a Bible teacher. You have a pastor. You came to the church because you got the Holy Spirit. You came to the church to learn your Bible and understand your Bible better. Why? Because, look at the next part here. We're going to go back to 16, but I want to say, here's the pillar, the big, tall, and the little statue up here. And guess what the devil is doing? What's over here? Is chapter 4, verse 1. Verse 1, read it with me. Now the Spirit speaks expressly. What's this mean? Holy Spirit is saying something to the Apostle Paul that is very clear. He's speaking expressly, profoundly. Spirit is talking. Spirit is showing the Apostle Paul something. What's another way of saying that? Because I know some of you, your minds are wandering just now. I'm going to reel you back in. What's another? Ask your neighbor, what does that mean, the Spirit speaks expressly? Go ahead. Don't sit there by yourself either. What's it mean? Spirit speaks how? Precisely. Very clearly. Very specifically. Here's a good question. Has that ever happened to you? Where the Spirit said something very clearly to you? Has that ever happened to you? Just kind of raise your hand, okay. Is that right? Has that happened? Yeah. Praise God. Isn't that amazing? Praise God. I have a couple Bible verses. I know where I was. I know what the Spirit said to me in the Bible. I know where I was. I know, I'll tell you, one time my world kind of collapsed. And it was funny. Kyle was a little baby. I was in Hungary. I was coming home. I was home. I was going through some challenging times in different ways in my heart, in my life. And I took the baby in my arms. I got on the bed. I jumped on the bed apparently too hard or something. Anyway, the bed broke. I go down and, you know, my feet go up, the mattress goes up, the bed is, and I'm just down in the corner on the floor. And I said, this is appropriate for how I'm feeling right now. My whole world is collapsing. Okay. I know the Bible verse in that time in my life where the Spirit spoke to me. You know, I got it for the rest of my life. My point is, there are times when God will speak to you. And but this is bigger because this is the apostle writing the Bible. And he's saying, I see something. Way into the future, I see something. In the latter times, there the devil will be against this statue, okay? The pillar and ground of the truth, the manifestation, the mystery of godliness. And the devil will be doing this work. Read verse 1 with me. The Spirit speaks expressly that in the latter times, when? Latter times, we generally think that's what we are in today. We say last days, or this text that says latter times. Maybe it's the times we are living in now. Why not believe that these are the latter times? We have many Bible prophecies that indicate that, and what we're looking at. This is what we believe. That Christ will be returning in the rapture. Actually, didn't I have a prophecy that didn't come true? I said the election would be on November 3rd and the rapture would be on the 4th. Hey, look at where we are this morning.
I thought we missed it.
Rene believes so strongly. He thought, oh, Pastor Schaller is not wrong. We missed it. It happened. So I'm going to prophesy again. Strike 3 and I'm out. You know, no, I don't know. But Paul said, this will be happening. And it's seducing spirits, chapter 4, verse 1, that some shall depart from the faith. Why, Paul? Because of COVID. That's what it says in the Greek. Some will depart from the faith because of COVID. Seriously, I wonder if there is a falling away. From what? The church, the mystery of godliness. Is the mystery of godliness happening in your life? There's 6 things that describe that. We'll look at it in a minute. Is the mystery of godliness in your life? Is this a mystery? How we are thinking, what we are believing, what we are embracing, what we are worshiping, what we are doing on the earth. It's the mystery of godliness. I don't want to leave it. I don't want to lose it. I don't want to depart from my faith. I don't want to depart from the body. I don't want to depart from the spirit. I don't want to depart from what the Bible is saying. I don't want to depart in the end times from the faith. Look at the next part. It says, giving heed. What's this mean, giving heed? I think Pastor Schaller knows what it means. What is it?
Giving attention to. Responding
yeah.
To, responding to.
Right. Giving heed is like, thank you. You're awesome. You're awesome. Do you see that?
Yeah.
He's my Bible reference over there. I don't even have to study anymore. Just ask him. Give heed. Give heed to pay attention. How about be fascinated, drawn to, appeal, you know, drawn to what? Verse 1. Seducing spirits. Now, seducing, usually we think of the word with regard to sexual seduction, like Joseph in Egypt with Potiphar's wife, and how she wanted to sleep with him. Yeah, and she was wanting that. It says many times she was like drawing him. Because we all have some hook. We have something that's the seducing spirit, the person, the seducing spirit in a person drawing us. It happened to Jesus in the wilderness. He was hungry, and the devil was suggesting and drawing him, wanting him to be disobedient to his father. Yeah, so we see this happening in everyday life with people. But what are these seducing spirits saying to people that are in the church? Like, you don't need that. I there's something here that's better for you. I have something for you. This is better. It's just like paralleling the woman where she has this this attractive element, and she could say, you have me. You have me. This is enough for you. I have what you need. And so we are drawn to not the mystery of godliness, but we're drawn to the natural things of life. Food, money, power, influence, society, a group that would accept me, but not the mystery of godliness. It's not God, but it's a society, a group. It's what you need. We will give you what you need. We are here for you. We will help you. Isn't this the kind of the message generally by our governments, where you have, we will take care of you. We are the answer for your life from the cradle to the grave. That, you know, we are what you need. We'll give you your education. We give you your paychecks. Your life, your career, your future, and also take care of you, your family, and so on. And how seductive it is, how good it is, how good it is. But listen to this. What if I'm able to say to that attractive woman, you don't have enough for me. You don't have it. You don't have it. You don't have what I'm looking for. You don't have enough for me. And she's like offended by it. And it says that in the book of Genesis that the woman said, this Hebrew, when he finally refused, she was offended, and she said, this Hebrew is mocking me. He is mocking me. And do you know what? She was right. I'm mocking you. Your seduction is not enough for me. I'm made for something better. I got something going on in my life. Well, what do you have? I have the mystery of godliness. That's the thing the devil is against. Just be normal people. Don't have the mystery of godliness. Just be, you know, just live your life and be normal people, you know, just like everybody else does. Now, I don't want to be like everybody else. I want to follow God. I don't know about everybody else. I'm interested in God. I think God is interesting to me. God is enough for me. God is what I need. I found God. I want God in my life. No. You don't need God in your life. I got everything you need, everything you want. No. I've already been there. It's empty. Remember David Duval? Anybody? He was a pro golfer, young guy. He was in the tournaments and everything. It was amazing. He made it. He won. I think it was the Masters. And I'm not a golfer, but my son is. So he was telling me the story. This guy, when he finally got there, he made it. He won the Masters, I think. That was it. He was done. He got a skateboard. He moved to Colorado. He disappeared. He was empty. He got there. He took it. And he was done. He was done. How many people sleep with a woman and there's nothing there? How many people buy the carrot and it leads them off the cliff? How many people have took the heroin when the guy's selling it said, listen, your first one's free, your second one's free, don't worry about it, I'll take care of you, whatever you need. I'm here for you. I'm here for you. Really? Really? Yeah. Now go to the text of chapter 3, verse 16. You get the picture of it, right? You got it. Man, this is so good. Look at verse 16. We're going to hit the six things, and I want you to say with me what the devil will say when you read this. Verse 16. Without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. What does that mean? It's a mind blower when you find God. Great is the mystery. It's the most amazing thing. Ask Ryan down here, front row. And learning, we're not perfect, but we learn. I want Christ. I want to live by faith. I want to be able to say to that woman, you don't have enough for me. You're an empty person. You don't have enough for me. Goodbye. And she goes, you're mocking me. Yes, I am. Yes, you got that right. I am mocking you. You are not what I need. I got God, the mystery of godliness. Point number one. Look at it, please. Verse 16. God was manifest in the flesh. No, that can't happen. Yes, that happened. Where did that happen? Bethlehem. He was manifest in the flesh. God was in the flesh. No. No. Yes. God was in the flesh. Now, what does the devil say? No. Can't happen. No. Anything but that. No. Look at all my wares over here. Look at, I got the money over here. I got everything for you. Come on. No, God was manifest in the flesh. No, that can't happen. Yes, it does happen. It did happen. It happened. It blows you away, doesn't it, devil? Devil, I don't even have the words for you. Goodbye. I'm done with you. I don't have anything to do with you. You're done. You're finished. Nah, 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 nah. You're done. You're history. You're toast. I could care less about you because God was manifest in the flesh. Do you realize that means that God came into our world of humanity? That he came into our world so we could have God? That's the thing he doesn't like. That's why he's saying seducing spirits over here. Look up on the screen. He's trying to take us away from this mystery. Come on. Don't pay any attention to them. Come with me. Come with me. I have my own doctrines. It's about marriage and it's about food. And I was thinking how crazy that is. Like the devil talks to people about marriage. And isn't it funny how heterosexuals don't care about getting married and the homosexuals do? The homosexuals say, I want to get married. I want to get married. The heterosexuals say, no, I don't want to get married. Is this world crazy? How about food? Have you ever seen so many people occupied with food in your life? What's the food thing all about? I mean, I just throw down the old meal and get going. Live your day. Live your life. I don't care about the connoisseurs. That's fine. And the cuisines of the different kitchens and the whole thing. I'm just trying to say something. The world is caring about food and not about the mystery of godliness. The world is all occupied with sexuality and marriage and forbidding to marry and needing and all these various messages that are sent into the world, and they're all silly. They're silly. Not all of them, the scientific things, I respect that and so on, but that's not what I'm talking about. It says there in the text, look at verse 2, isn't it? Speaking lies and hypocrisy, having conscience seared, forbidding to marry, and commanding to abstain from food. I don't know about you, but I have ate the lousiest food that you could ever eat in the whole world. I've eaten food in different places in the world, which was absolutely nauseating. But I said my prayer, blessed it, and I ate it. And if it stayed down, it nourished me. It didn't always stay down. I had a friend who he was a little boy here in Baltimore. His father made him eat an oyster. He said, I don't want to eat the oyster. The father said, you eat it. The little boy, he eats the oyster, it goes down, and then comes back up. His father said, eat it. Goes back down. He said, 8 times. I wonder what that oyster was like after the 8th time. Hey, wait, Pastor Schaller, stick to the text. Okay, let's go to the next part, verse chapter 3, verse 16. He was justified in the Spirit. He was operating in the Spirit. He was approved by the Spirit. He was anointed by the Spirit. No, no, not the Spirit. Anything but the Spirit. Preach, but not with the Spirit. No, don't live in the Spirit. Well, go ahead, live the Christian life, but don't live in the Spirit. Anything but not the Spirit. Keep your laws and rules and behave and be good Christians. That's fine with me, but not the Spirit. No, not the Holy Spirit. Don't pray in the Spirit. Say your prayers, but don't pray in the Spirit. The devil says, no, no, come with me. I'll teach you other things. I'll get you distracted. I'll get you into this other, I'll get you in your natural world. And then those people are disappointed and they're empty and guilty and everything else. They don't have God. They don't have God. They're not in fellowship with God. They're afraid of COVID. They're afraid of the car accident. They're afraid of a shark in the water. They're afraid of the disaster on Wall Street. They're afraid of losing their house. They're afraid of disease. They're afraid of cancer. They're afraid. They're living, and there's no mystery of God. There is no mystery of God. There's no fellowship of God. The devil has taken the church. He's afraid of the church. He's afraid the church will reveal the mystery of godliness. He's afraid the Spirit will anoint the church. He's afraid the church will have joy. He's afraid the church will tell the truth. He's afraid that the church will do more than that. Go to the next part. It says, seeing of angels. Angels love to look at the mystery of godliness. I can imagine an angel in heaven, you know, flying over to a friend, angel. Absolutely, come with me, I got to show you something. It's Moravia Park Drive. And the other angel says, what's the number? I got to check my 6025. Okay, they come. What do you see? Angels see. We are seen of angels. What are the angels? They know about humanity. They know about jealousy and envy and bitterness. They know about adultery and lying and cheating and deceitfulness. They know about pride and arrogance. They know that. But when they look at the church and the mystery of godliness, they're like saying, we see it. I mean, these are just a human way of trying to say what I'm saying. We see it. God is manifest in the flesh. He is in them, and he is seen by angels. You will see angels coming and going on the Son of Man in John 1:51. Angels will come and visit our meetings, 1 Peter 1:10 to 12. They will stoop in. They will. It says they will bend down. That little thing Kenneth Weiss brings out, when Peter and John ran to the tomb of Jesus, and John is young, and he sprints, and Peter's kind of coming, you know, with the lame foot. Okay, so Peter comes. That's not in the Bible. But Peter comes. John is waiting at the entry. He's waiting. And it says, Peter stooped down and looked inside. It's the same for angels stooping down and looking at us in 1 Peter 1. Why do they want to look at us? Because they want to see God in the flesh. Why do they want to look at us? Because they want to hear God and see God and the heart of God and the mind of God. They don't want to see baptized in vinegar, legalistic, unhappy, sad, critical, bitter, just people sitting around or not even going anywhere, going to any church. They go to a bowling club. They go to ESPN to watch a football game or something. They go to a bar room. That's not the mystery of God. They get in trouble going to places where there is no God. They make friends with the world. They don't have anything going on, something cooking inside. They don't have the Spirit moving in them. They don't have edification and building up happening. Okay, let's finish it up. It says here, what else about it? The mystery of godliness, they preached unto the Gentiles. I was doing a Zoom meeting with the Nepalese the other day. And these Nepalese kids, I love these people. Wow. These kids, I mean, 16 years old, 18, 20, 25, 30-year-old kids learning the Bible. One time I flew over Nepal, I looked down on the mountains, the Himalayan mountains, and on the edges of the mountains were little villages. And they walk there, and there's no electricity, and they're very poor, and they're very tough people. Very tough people. Very amazing people. Wow. And I said to the guys on the Zoom meeting, I go to the villages and preach Christ. Go to the villages and tell them about Jesus. Go to the villages and tell them that God loves them. Go to the villages and tell them about Jesus. And they're there receiving. Pastor John and Diane Post have lived there a number of years now, right? How many? 6 years. Those are the heroes right there. They are the hero. They are amazing. You know, this is incredible. They go. They do it. Christ casts out demons. Christ tells them, I forgive you. God is real. God visits those places. Angels come. And the devil says, no, don't preach to the Gentiles. Yes, we're preaching to the Gentiles. Yes, we are. We're preaching in the highways and byways, and I know that all of you, you have a lot of respect for this particular ministry that started to really get moving 50 years ago with a Bible school and sending out missionaries and doing this work. And we're in many countries and hundreds of churches that are affiliated with us in our doctrine and our teaching and our understanding and our Bible schools. And this is God's work. Great is the mystery of it. It's a mystery. You can't buy it with money. You can't produce it by a university education. You cannot go down to Walmart and try to buy it and find it. You cannot get on a Zoom meeting and produce it. You cannot do that. It's something that's mystical. It's a heart. It's God. God in the flesh. It's God showing up in our life. It's God saying, say goodbye to that woman. It's over. It's done. Go away from her and mock her. And tell her you are not. That happened to Augustine, by the way. I want to finish up. Augustine is a saint of God in church history, 4th century. And as a young man, he was with a lot of different women. A lot of different women in his life. And his mother was in his life, too. He didn't have a father, I think. when he was young, but he was a womanizer. He was a carnal, unsaved womanizer with a lot of different women. Anywho, he was empty. He got saved by grace. God saved him. He wrote more than 1 million words in theology. More than 1 million words were written by this great thinker, this great man of faith. One time in the street, a woman met him, and she goes, "You know me, I know you," because she was from his past. And he said, "You don't know me. You don't know me." But he knew. Yes, you know me, but no, you don't know me. You don't know me. You have no power over me. You don't know who I am. No, I'm these are my words now. I am in the mystery of godliness, and this is a thing the devil hates it. He says, no, that can't happen. No angels, no anointing, no preaching, no God in the flesh. I don't want any of that happening. I want just society to operate without God. And the devil says, and when we say, no, we are preaching to Gentiles, the devil says, no, you're not. And we're saying, yes, we are. Yes, we are. We resist the devil and he flees from us. We follow God and we find God. The last one here, believed on in the world, two more. He was believed on in the world, and there are some that believe us and some do not believe us. Some believe us, some do not believe us, and it breaks our heart. They don't believe it. Could we walk with you? Could we help you believe? Could we walk with you? Could you come and visit us? Could you be with us? Could we walk with you? Could you become a believer? Come and see and come and be with us. Some believed. And that mystery happens. And then the last thing that happened to Jesus, all of these happened to Jesus. He ascended up into heaven. This is verse 16, and he was received up into glory. No, Jesus, you cannot go up there. Yes, I'm going. And you know how Kenneth Weiss said in the book of Colossians that the spirits tried to keep Jesus on the earth, but he went through the heavens and sat at the right hand. No, you cannot go. Yes, you have no authority over this. This is God. This is his plan. This is reality. And the sooner the believer will get in step with God's reality, the more satisfied we will be in our heart. We'll be satisfied in our spirit. We'll be in fellowship with the mystery of Christ. God is faithful, who's called us into the fellowship of his dear Son, 1 Corinthians 1:9. And we'll find ourselves satisfied with each other in the Lord. When I was in Florida, I'm finishing now, but when I was in Florida, we just it was just there. We loved being together. Haven't seen each other. Fellowship was there. It was just there. We have a future in Florida. We have a message in Florida. We have a mission in Florida. Let's reach people in Florida. Let's see God do his work in Florida. And wherever we go, this is the way we think. We're in Hungary. God's work is in Hungary. This is his will. And the devil says, no, go back home. Get out of here. Disappear. We have nothing to do with you. We have our own product, our own stuff. I would say your stuff is garbage. Your stuff is garbage. You are the way to hell. You are the destroyer of men's souls. You are a thief. You are a liar. You have nothing for me. I am not satisfied with a sandwich. I want God, and God will give me a sandwich. I'm not satisfied with a natural life. I want God, and God will take care of my life. That's it. Would you pray with me, please? If you're here this morning and you don't have Jesus yet in your life, we ask you to say to Jesus, in your heart, I want the mystery of godliness in my life. Jesus, I want you in my life. Save me. It's that simple. Faith in him. He saves you. He forgives you of your sin. You say, not my sin. I'm a bad guy. You are. You are a bad guy, but a lot worse than maybe you think you. You don't know all of us. But that's why he came, to save you now, as you are. So say that, please, in Jesus' name. Anyone saying that prayer, just raise your hand. The ushers will give you something to read. Thank you, Lord, for this assembly today. Bless our time today and tonight and our week. Amen.